It was dark by the time Doc greeted JB and Jack after they had returned from their wreck on the farm.
Just in time. Our sleeper has just recently awakened.
Clarissa stretched her arms and legs. A few yards away, the muties were also rising from their fruit-induced sleep.
What happened? One minute I was talking to you, and the next I was fast asleep.
The fruit you ate, which came courtesy of Fox Farm, seems to have been laced with some sort of sedative.
And you gave it to me to eat knowing that?
You were hungry. It wasn't lethal, and we didn't have anything else to give you or your friends to eat. Besides, it was either that or chill you.
She looked at the armorer for a long time, probably wondering if he was kidding or serious.
Would you really have done that?
JB remained silent, but he gave her a good-natured sideways grin. Clarissa chose to take the gesture as a sign that he wouldn't have hurt her, whether it was true or not.
This museum you spoke of, is it close enough to travel to in the dark, or should we find some other accommodation for the night?
Not a good idea to be out at night.
No safe place?
Sure.
Okay, we'll rest up tonight, and tomorrow we'll hit the museum.
JB turned to Clarissa.
Lead the way.
Mildred was led into a well-lit and very clean room in the basement of the main building. A row of beds stood against each wall, 10 to a row, 20 beds in all. All but four of the beds were empty. Sitting at one end of the room at a desk was an old woman who had to be in her 60s. She was gray-haired, hunched over, and the knuckles of her hands were gnarled with arthritis. She looked up as Mildred brought Jasmine into the nursery.
Two at once?
No, I'm just here to help her.
You a midwife?
No, not exactly.
Healer?
Sort of.
Oh, well, welcome then. I could use the help. What's her story?
Her water's broken. She's had some meconium staining.
Is that like dark water?
If I understand what you're saying, then yes.
She may be overdue then.
That's right.
Mildred had wondered if the old woman would be in the way, but it was obvious that she'd delivered plenty of babies in her time and knew what she was doing.
Here, honey.
The old woman took Jasmine's hands and placed them on her breasts.
Touch them, twist them, and pull on them for the next little while.
What will that do?
Mildred wondered about that too, but then remembered that breast stimulation released the hormone oxytocin, which caused the uterus to contract. But how did you go about explaining that to a woman born and raised in the Deathlands? She decided that the simplest explanation was the best.
It will help make the baby come out.
The old woman nodded her approval, then turned to Mildred.
Now, help me get ready.
Mildred smiled. There had been so much chilling in her life recently. It would be wonderful to help bring some new life into the Deathlands. She rolled up her sleeves.
My pleasure.
As the crew exited the wag, the sec man began shouting orders.
Dinner served in 20. Show starts in an hour, so get cleaned on the double.
Brody started walking toward what was apparently a communal showering area, but he noticed that Ryan hadn't moved.
Come on, Ryan. The showers are this way.
What if I don't want a shower?
No, man. Everyone's got to go through. The Baron likes his people to be clean when they rot. You know, protection against disease, healthy offspring, and all that. Besides, the water's hot, and it'll make you feel good after a day working in the orchard.
Ryan assented and entered the large room where both men and women were getting undressed. About half of the women were noticeably heavy, and all the men looked fit and healthy. Brody gave Ryan a plastic crate with the name of a pre-dark dairy imprinted on the side.
Put your clothes in the crate. You can get them washed if you want, or you can put them on again after your shower. It's up to you.
Although his clothes could probably do with a wash, he decided he'd put them on again. If they went into the wash, there was no telling when or if he'd get back the same clothes. Ryan stepped into the shower. Brody stood off to one side, keeping an eye out for Purvis while Ryan washed up. The one-eyed man was grateful for the chance to wash the blood, dust, and grime from his body. He put his head under the flowing stream, which was both fresh and warm thanks to the farm's unlimited supply of water and electricity, and he let it trickle over him like a river. As he soaped up and rinsed for the last time, Ryan caught sight of Purvis at the shower's exit. He decided to ignore him for the time being, knowing that the man wouldn't do anything while so many slaves were still in the showers with them. But with Purvis standing there looking for a fight, the others rinsed off quickly and left, leaving Ryan and Brody alone with him. Purvis was as tall and as muscular as one might expect from the dominant male of a work crew. He also looked as if he'd been in a few fights during his time on the farm. Several of his teeth were missing, his nose was caved in, and there was a bite-sized chunk of flesh missing from the outside of his right thigh. Purvis took a couple of steps into the shower.
Your time has come, One-Eye.
He doesn't want any trouble, Purvis. He doesn't know how things work on the farm, that's all.
Ryan decided to keep quiet for the moment, giving Purvis the chance to back out of this without getting hurt.
You got that right, Brody. He don't know shit about what he's got himself into.
He made a mistake is all. He was thinking like an outlander, not like a slave. Forget it this time, and it won't happen again.
There was a slight grin on Purvis's face. He was obviously enjoying hearing Brody's pleading. But Ryan didn't like it at all.
No, it will happen again. It'll happen every time you beat on a woman, Purvis, or anybody else who's done you no wrong.
Purvis took a few steps closer.
You know what I think, scum? I think you're all talk and no action.
Well, I've been called a lot of things, but never that.
The big man hesitated. He gestured to Brody.
I don't like the odds. I'm into one-on-one fighting.
Ryan nodded. Get out of here, Brody.
But...
I said get out. I'll take care of myself.
Brody sighed, believing that this would be the last time he'd see his new friend alive, and left without another word.
All right. Pack your bags, One-Eye. You're about to board the last train west.
Ryan would speak no more. He was too busy assessing the situation to waste any more time on talk. He realized that the water was still running in the showers. It would help drown out their voices so the sec men couldn't hear them, but it also made the floor of the shower very slippery. Purvis was a head taller than Ryan, and probably outweighed him by 50 pounds. So if Ryan was to have any chance against the bigger man, he'd have to move fast, strike first, and strike hard.
Come on, One-Eye, I'm waiting!
Ryan crouched, pushed off from the wall, and slid across the smooth tiles of the shower floor. He struck Purvis's legs while still moving at a good clip, and the big man toppled, landing hard on his shoulder. Before the man had time to recover, Ryan was on his feet again. He kicked out with his right foot, catching the side of Purvis's head with his heel. The blow seemed to have little effect on the drowned man because he managed to get to his feet, as if he'd received little more than a tap on the shoulder.
You're fast, I'll give you that!
Ryan decided if it worked once, it might be worth trying again. He knelt, got onto his hands, and swung his feet out in a wide arc, taking Purvis's feet out from under him again. This time, the big man fell backward, landing hard on his back and striking his head on the hard, wet floor. Purvis seemed to be in pain, so Ryan moved in to take advantage. But when he got close, Purvis reached out and grabbed the one-eyed man's feet, pulling him off the floor. Ryan managed to break his fall with his hands, but still landed heavily on the tiles. Despite his previous falls, the big man was slowly getting stronger, and Ryan knew that if he managed to get too close, it was possible that he would be smothered in his grip. A crowd of slaves had begun to gather at the entrance to the shower, but there were still no sec men in sight, which meant that only one of them would be walking out of the showers alive. Ryan backed away from Purvis until his back touched one of the shower room's tiled walls. Purvis grinned, taking the move as a sign of weakness.
You can't run from me, One-Eye.
But in truth, Ryan was merely putting as much space between himself and the big man as he could. A second later, he was off running, leaping through the air and throwing his shoulder and all of his body weight into Purvis's chest. Ryan knocked the air out of the man's lungs, and Purvis fell backward with Ryan on top of him. Purvis gulped for air. Ryan took hold of the man's head and kept slamming it onto the hard tile floor until the back of his skull was crushed. Blood leaked onto the shower floor. He let go of the big man's ruined head and looked over to the shower entrance. The slaves were gone, and in their place were two sec men. They didn't look all that surprised to see a dead man lying on the shower floor. If Purvis was anything special, you sure couldn't tell from the sec men's expressions.
What happened to him?
Ryan half grinned.
He slipped on some soap.
Yeah. That's the third time this month that's happened.
Clarissa had led the four companions upriver to some unknown destination. The sun had set, and Dean was feeling tired.
Are we there yet?
Patience, my dear boy. If the woman leads us to a safe place in which to spend the night, the peaceful rest...